Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The Bear is number 40 on the list, and longtime restaurant critic in town and winner of many awards, Phil Vitale, became a friend of ours a few years ago. When he retired, we stopped calling on him as often as we'd like to because he stopped reviewing restaurants regularly. But I thought we'd reach out and say hi to him today. Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Have you been good? You still eating food every day?
I'm still eating food. Funny thing, you retire from food criticism and 7 o'clock rolls around and you're hungry. So, yeah, I've been eating.
And are you cooking for yourself now, or are you going out still?
A little both. I still like to go out. I have a few favorites. I do like to try new places when I get a chance. But there's a fair amount of soup for one going on here.
And do you get the itch to, when you've sampled something that was really good or really bad, or you wanted to say something about, do you just turn to people sitting next to you and you say... And you load up a review?
Excuse me. Check this lead. I start dictating things to people. No, I will post a food adventure or two on social, but only if it's something I really liked. I'm not going to waste people's time by complaining about something unless it's really egregious, and frankly, it never is. It never is egregious with me. I have a lot of luck, and of course, I go into restaurants. People still know it's me, at least some of them, and so I treated fairly well.
Well,
so
and,
that part's fun.
I like the attitude in general. What is there a place that you've enjoyed lately that you want to share with us?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Pico Osonio, especially in the summer because they have the most beautiful outdoor patio. In the city, maybe the world.
Piccolo
and
Sonia.
So it's right at that intersection of Halstead and Grand and Milwaukee, where they all come together. They're on one of those corners. It's a beautiful spot. I go there a lot. I'm fond of Robert's Pizza when I can get in there. The trick now is that it used to be a quick walk from Tribune Tower, but now I got to find a place to park around there. So it's
That's your fault, Phil.
It kind of is, it's kind of Tribune Media's fault because they're the ones who decided to sell Tribune Tower and kick us out.
No,
yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. You used to tell us how good Robert's Pizza was. You said it was the best crust in the city. It really is a nice location on that little slip off the lake and the river there.
Right.
And it's positively lovely. I've been singing that song ever since you told me about it, and I think if it's too crowded now, that's your fault.
That's true. If Robert wants to give me credit for that, I would tend to credit the pizzeria, but how good his crust is still. But yeah, that's another fun place to. And once a month, I write a little something for Naperville Magazine, which is an offshoot of Chicago Magazine, which is owned by Chicago Tribune, so the circle is complete. So once a month, I write a little food feature for that magazine, and a West suburban restaurant. Because
I don't get out to Naperville as much as I should because I know it's a big and important town in Chicagoland, and they say it has a good restaurant scene. And the last time Brendan and I were out there, we had a nice meal, but navigating, parking, and driving in that area was an unpleasant part of the experience. What do you know or think about all of that?
Well, I have an advantage. I live 6 miles from Naperville. I know the downtown area very well, so I know where to find parking. Mm-hmm. And so it's never very tricky for me. Also, I have gotten to the point where usually weekends are my stay-at-home cooking days, and weekdays are when I go out to eat, which makes restaurants happy because I'm showing up when they're not that busy. So I'm
spending money.
A bigger impact on their bottom line because they're going to sell that chair, that table on Friday, whether I show up or not. And And also, that really eases up any parking concerns. You go out to eat on a Wednesday or Thursday, and you're not going to have any trouble finding a spot at all.
I'm going to ask you about the Bear and how the criticism of the Bear is reviewed, but or viewed by you. But where do you like in Naperville? What's a safe bet in that town?
The safest bets are there's a Davanti Enoteca in downtown Naperville. That's a restaurant owned by a concept owned by Scott Harris, who started the Mia Francesca Empire 20 years ago. There's further out toward Aurora, there's places like Hardware Gastro Pub, which is really, really good. I mean, it's a bit of a haul unless any readers here out in the western suburbs go out Aurora Way and find Hardware Gastro Pub. You will not be sorry. It's really nice. I've been out to Geneva, where the Walrus Room is doing really good things. And the last place I stuck my head into was a restaurant called Entourage, which is on the western border of Naperville, by which I mean Highway 59. And that's a very ambitious steak and American kind of restaurant, but I had very good luck with the food there and especially the cocktails. It's a good place.
Talk to me about The Bear. I hope you've been watching it. And what do you think about that series and the third season in particular?
I got addicted after the second season. I was just all in. I'm loving all this. I'm loving all that. The part of season three, I don't want to talk too heavily about it because I don't know how many people listening have gotten through season three. I haven't finished the entire season three. Sometimes they get very serious about certain things. There was one episode entirely devoted to getting Sugar to the hospital on time, and more interaction with the mom, which is played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's just cringe good, in that role. She's such a damaged person, and she sells it so effectively. I still go ah. So, but yes, I'm a big fan. I really like the way they portray the industry and capture the chaos that goes on behind the scenes.
And is that so? You would tell me that that's an accurate portrayal of the restaurant business, and we're talking about the most successful restaurants in the industry, say in Chicago, mm-hmm. maybe. This is an up-and-coming star restaurant, or at least they're trying to get a Michelin star. And a lot of the cameos from other chefs or references to other restaurants are well-known successful restaurants. It's amazing to me, then, that the way that great food is made is such a pressurized atmosphere that it's just talk about that, Phil. You would think that a really successful business would not require that amount of chaos.
Right. And in a large part, given the kind of restaurant that The Bear aspires to be, comparing it, say, to Chicago's Ever Oriole in those kitchens, you would not see that kind of chaos at all. In fact, places like Alinea, it's practically a library back there. Very quiet. Everyone doing their things, heads down, an occasional day, but the idea of somebody getting into an F-bomb fight while they're trying to cook, unheard of. At these places, at places like Alinea, you can get a stern look if you let a cupboard door close too loudly. It's not supposed to make any noise
really?
At all. They are. It is like the ultimate. But you have to be. That said, you have to be so good and have so much experience just to get in a kitchen like that. And at The Bear, we see a whole bunch of people that are all trying to be better than they've ever been before. The sous chef was just making Italian beef sandwiches, period, in season one, and now she's running, now she's doing intricate plated foods and coming up with stuff. So you have all these people on that staff that they're all stretching their boundaries. They're all trying to be so much better than they ever had to be before. And that's that's not an easy transition for anybody at anything.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, Phil. Better than they've ever been, better than, in fact, they are. They're being pulled up from Little League and being asked to play in the majors. They don't have the skill set, and they're learning on the job. I have to laugh, Brenda and I, when we were watching one of the episodes, and I brought her a sandwich, or maybe I'd heated up some pizza or something. I brought her a plate of some food, and then I carefully, with a tweezer, placed a tomato on the side for artistic touch. And she kind of laughed. But I wonder, let me put you on pause for just a second. Hold right there, Phil, and we'll pick it up here. But the art of the food is something that is celebrated in that show. And I wonder what you make of all of that, too. Hey, John Williams. Hey, Phil Vitale. I watched season 3 of The Bear, and I gave it on a scale of 1 to 10, 5. The first 2 seasons were so much better to me. Phil, I finished the 3rd season of The Bear, and you said you didn't, but I think you had the feel for it. It's a lot of backstory, and the word may be that it was supposed to be a 3-season show. It became such a hit, they decided to extend it into 4. So this season number 3 isn't exactly something they planned for. There's no real storyline or major plot narrative here, with one exception, which I'll get to, and this is no spoiler. But what you're really then getting is just these sort of backstories of the character. This is just sort of Phil, it feels like, in season 3. Mm-hmm. And albeit sometimes great performances by some really good stars, and you're right, Jamie Lee Curtis's episode is amazing. But a lot hangs on the Tribune Review, which you wrote for years. How important was a Phil Vitale review to the success or not the failure of a restaurant, Phil?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, I my ego wants me to tell you that it was the be all and end all. But since after I retired and I'd started going to the kind of events that I never was able to attend while I was keeping a distance between me and the people I was covering, is had any number of chefs that would come up to me and say, "I just wanted you to know what it was like waiting for that review to come out once we knew it was coming." And it was, and they said they were wrecks. They just, you know, because I guess you could think, oh my God, what if he says this? What if he says that? I'm glad I didn't know how twisted a notch some people were. It might have gotten in my head. But yeah, the season 2 ended with, oh my God, they're being reviewed by the Chicago Tribune, and I've now done 9 episodes of season 3, and I believe there's only 10. So I've only got one more half-hour shot to go through. And we still haven't seen the review. So they went through 9 episodes. And end of first season, end of second season, there's a review coming. And then 9 episodes of, it's still coming. We don't know when it's coming for some reason. Next month.
Let me ask you this, because how many times – especially if it was a high-concept, expensive restaurant. I think it's like $165 for mm-hmm. a seating at this restaurant, The Bear. How many times would you go, just once or more than once, to review a place like that?
My dead minimum was 2. And honestly, when it was the kind of place that I would be going out there, I might not do a 3rd visit. Or I might do 3 visits, but always just by myself. Typically, I would bring a companion or two with me to reviews because you can try more stuff. But when you're reviewing a restaurant like The Bear, in which it's a fixed menu and you're going to get every course that they have, well, I don't necessarily need someone. I don't need to buy 2 of those. I'm going to get the whole meal anyway. So a lot of times with those high-end places, it was just me. Or, I bring my wife and I just eat half the cost because, it's hard to justify on a budget that I needed another person in that case. But yeah, at least 2 times and 3 if I could swing it. You know, I might have to review a taco stand the following week to balance out the budget, but I would try to do everything the way to the point where I was confident that I understood the place and had a really good grip on what way they were doing great and what they were doing not so great.
Would you give them a pass sometime if the service was bad one night because they were, you know, crashed or, you know, maybe the waiter or waitress was having a bad night? I mean, how often would you look the other way at something that you thought was specific to your dining experience but might not have been true to the restaurant in general?
It would have to be really obviously just a one, like a one-shot deal, or, you know, I would never worry about minor things, super minor things. I mean, if you read reviews, quote unquote, on social media, you get a whole lot of people complaining about how long it took to get a second round of bread or their water glass refilled. And that was not foremost in my mind in my visits, how long it took me to get really the look, because the person in charge of giving you more water is about as low man on the totem pole as it gets, right, in the front room. And I'm going to base my review based on how fast that one guy got back out. It just seemed ridiculous to me. But that said, I wrote not so much with the restaurant in mind, but with the person who was thinking about coming to this place and spending $250 to be there. And I whatever I write, I need to, you know, I need to be able to look that guy, that woman, in the eye and say, yes, this is why I think you should spend your money here. And so if they make mistakes, then you have to say, because I'm trying to give people an idea of what to expect. Yeah, and if I say it's perfect when it wasn't perfect, then I'm lying.
I'm out of time, Phil. I got 30 seconds left. Is there a up-and-coming restaurant? Or what do you I don't know that you're in a position to answer this anymore, but is there the best restaurant in Chicago, according to you? What would it be?
Yeah, I'm no longer confident in saying those things. I direct places to people to places that have always been good, like Brondi, or if you're up in the North Shore, I say, you know, go to Aboye in Winnetka. But the new ones, I haven't gotten to as many. And again, if I was going to start doing that, I'd want to go a few times. But for the most part, I know places I want to visit, but I haven't been yet, and I'm way behind now.
Well, I'll have the Tribune start sending you those checks again to cover the expenses, and then
that would be lovely. Thank you. That would be nice.
You stay well, Phil. We'll look for you around town. It's nice to talk to you.
All right. Thank you.